Isaiah, a series of poems and narrative attributed to an ancient prophet, is among the most important Hebrew texts for early Christianity. Our reading today comes from early parts of the text, where Isaiah has a vision calling him to the life of a prophet. Here we are reminded that God's calling to each of us does not depend on our worthiness, but only on God's grace. Our decision, like Isaiah's, is to say yes or no to the calling we have received. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go say to this people, keep listening but do not comprehend. Keep looking but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull and stop their ears and shut their eyes so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed." Then I said, "Oh, how long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until the cities lie waste without inhabitants and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away, and the vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains standing when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read together Psalm 138. "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things. When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me. All the nations of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord. Through the Lord be high, he cares for the lowly, he perceives the lofty of all. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me. The Lord will make good his purpose for me. O Lord, your love endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands."
Psalm In his lengthy letter to the Christian community in Corinth, Paul summarizes to them the gospel they have received. While Paul sees himself as least among the apostles, Christ's first followers, he acknowledges his own calling. That calling is not based on any merit of his, but entirely on God's loving grace. Because of this, Paul shares the gospel freely, so that all who hear it may too be called to new life in Christ. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. He had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Thank you very much. Let's be seated. Today's gospel reading reminds me of a childhood memory of being on a lake, small lake, appropriately called Little Lake, in northern Michigan. My grandfather and grandmother ran the Diocesan Conference Center on Little Lake for many years. They lived in this little cabin at the side of the lake, ran the chapel there, and they would host campers during the summer and were up to their eyebrows in snow in the wintertime. We would go up there sometime in the summers, and I would go fishing with my grandfather in a little rowboat. And I remember one trip in particular that we rowed out into the middle of the lake. And to give you an idea, and it gives me an idea of why Jesus was doing what he was doing, he would get out on the still water in the lake, and you could hear everything. Everything. If you've ever done that. That's why Jesus gets into the boat, so that people can hear him. He didn't have an AV system. He didn't have John Dito to help him set one up. All he had was his own voice, and he needed it to carry because the crowds had gathered at the shore. So he got into a boat, got onto the lake. And I remember that day fishing. My grandfather had some salmon eggs, and we fished, and we fished, and we fished, and we fished, and we caught nothing. Absolutely nothing. Our readings today are all about calling, about being called. We have that hair-raising reading from Isaiah, which is probably one of the most vivid visions in all of the Hebrew Scriptures. We, in fact, quote it every time we do Eucharist and sing the Sanctus, holy, holy, holy. That amazing vision of being in God's temple and God filling it, and the cherubim and the seraphim, it's so vivid. And Isaiah is so profoundly moved and terrified at the same time, because in the ancient world, to gaze into the face of God was to cease to exist, was to die. Because God's being is so much brighter and more powerful than we can possibly imagine. And yet God assures him, and one of the seraphs brings a coal from the altar and places it on Isaiah's tongue, and he is cleansed. And then he is given a mission to say awful things to a people who are living comfortably. Always a prophetic task. And the first words out of Isaiah's mouth are, "How long do I have to do this? How long, O Lord? How long?" And the mission he is given spans generations, because this is a prophecy about the people being taken into exile. And then it's almost a throwaway line at the end of the passage. The stump that remains will be the holy seed. The remnant that returns will be the seed for God's people and their future. I can imagine Isaiah didn't know what quite to think after that. Would you? And this is, in fact, what happens in the calling of Peter in today's story. Peter has been out there fishing all night. And this is not like me fishing with my grandfather, which was a nice thing to do. If we caught some fish, we'd go home and cook them. But there was other food to eat in the house. This was a living. And it was a subsistence living, which meant a day without fish was probably a day without food. Not only for Peter and James and John, but for their families. And they are bone tired, I am sure. Bone tired. And Jesus tells them to put their nets out. And so they do. It reminds me of that feeling I had when my grandfather finally said, "We're packing it in for the day." He said, "We'll go get some earthworms tomorrow." And then he said that favorite line that only my grandfather could say, it still echoes in my brain, "Tomorrow is another day," he would say. But this isn't tomorrow. This is the end of a long night. Peter says basically to Jesus, "Okay, if you say so." The subtext being, don't expect much. And of course, Peter is overawed when he and his partners pull up nets that are so full they are breaking, and then they fill the boats, and the boats begin to sink. He thought having empty boats was an existential threat. What happens when the boats begin to sink with the load that you have? And Peter is so moved by this, all he can do is throw himself basically at Jesus' feet and say, just go away. This is too much. And besides all that, I know that I am a sinful man. I miss the mark all the time. Well, if you know anything about the story of Peter, he will prove that point over and over and over again. But the calling remains. The calling remains. Isaiah, incidentally, will be driven into this prophetic calling, and he will find himself doing radical things like walking naked around the streets of Jerusalem to get people's attention. You know, these callings are not necessarily pleasant things, and they radically alter our lives. When we heed them, we have to be ready to be surprised. The next day, my grandfather and I went and got earthworms at the local bait shop. We baited the hooks, and not a minute after I put that hook in the water, I pulled up my first perch, and then a second one, and then a third one. And I remember the count. By the end of that day, we had 20 perch and 2 bluegills. And we went home triumphant, you know, and had a great fish cook-up that night. That's what happens when we persevere in our calling. Things can turn around radically. Is that a hope for us here at Church of Our Savior? I think so. Is it dangerous for us here at Church of Our Savior? Absolutely. Because it's supposed to be that way. When God comes along to the shores of our lives and proclaims the word to us and then calls us, we had better expect our lives to be altered radically. If you're asking me what will happen next, the right answer is, I don't know. Because these stories are to remind us that when we are engaged in a relationship with God, we are engaged with the God who made all things and us, who laid the foundations of the universe and who is so much greater than we can possibly imagine. But the good news is when God calls us and we say yes, like Peter did, and then we foul it up because we always do, God remains faithful. God remains faithful to us. Stay tuned. There will be other scenes at the seashore as we move into the year. And those scenes are always meant to help us see what happens in our walk with God. We give ourselves over when we learn to trust. Our God is an opportunist, not in a way to abuse us or use us, but as an opportunist that we give God an inch, God gives us a mile. When we open the door a little bit, God comes in. Strangely enough, that's good news. But it is also unsettling and hopeful. Hopeful for us in a time when the truth of our faith is being demanded of us. Hopeful in a time when we need to remember who we are. Perhaps even more importantly, whose
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior in Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907. Search for us online or at Facebook, or visit our website at cosmv.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.